Christ says about himself, and you understand that he truly is the Messiah, the Son of God, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, once you understand and realize that, to really kind of understand what he really did, you need to go to Romans. So Romans is the next book that you need to read. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 basically give us the no excuse plan. We all know that we are sinners. We all know it. It's just that there's people out there who don't believe it or want to deny it or get away from the consequences of it, so they make up their own stuff. Romans chapter 3, I'm going to start reading partway through verse 9, where it says, "We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are alike, are all under sin." So it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, every one of us are sinners. We know it. "As it is written," and this is an Old Testament psalm, "there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good." And by that good word, he means perfect. No one. Not even one. "Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And that would be you before Christ. Remember back in the sinful days, if you accepted Christ later on, when you did all that rotten, bad stuff, didn't bother you in the least, did it? It's like, this is the way it is. Verse 19, "Now we know that whatever the law," that's the Ten Commandments and the whole 613 laws of the Old Testament, "it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." You understand what the purpose of the law is? It's the guilty plea against you. You have broken it. You have nothing to say. "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God," I circled that one in purple, "comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." No one else. You see the hinge? You get this through Jesus Christ and believing in him. "There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him," his son, "as a sacrifice of atonement." You see that word? What's today? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. "Through faith in his blood." No other way. "He did this to demonstrate his justice." You understand that? "Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ." Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that observing the law? No, but that of faith. "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the law." Get this. A man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. As I like to say, Heaven is like a good government job. It ain't what you do, it's who you know. And you either know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior and rest and have faith in His shed blood for your sins, or you are on your own and you can pay them for yourself. Got that? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Kids, you can go. Thank you. Man, I just love seeing these kids here yesterday running around. They're running around on the scooters. They're playing the games. I just love seeing you guys, man, and so well behaved. There wasn't an outbreak or a fight or argument among them. It was just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. I love that. We have great kids in this church. Isn't that right, Gemma? All right. Prayer request. Sophia Carlton has health problems, has some health issues. Sophia, who gave us that one? That's you. Okay. So we want to remember her. Who else? Anybody else? Once again, please, a reminder, because I've had people say this to me, how come my prayer request isn't in the bulletin? It's because you didn't write it out and stick it on a cross. That's it. Yes.
Can we just say an overall prayer for schools and teachers and parents alike right now trying to navigate still? It's fun.
We are having a major issue, and if you have not signed the petition for this Concerned Parents of Sarasota County, you let me know. I sent you the link.
It's back up this morning.
It's back up.
And shut down most of the day yesterday, yes.
Yeah. We kind of like were pioneers. Our church was on this about, 4 years ago when this whole thing came up, 3 or 4 years ago. And Shirley Brown has just really been horrific and focused on anything but education. And so there's a petition for some of the things that she has done. So if you'd like to sign that, I'll make sure Amanda gets that to you. Okay. So pray for the schools because these kids are a mess. They are a mess. All right. Anything else? I think since Jason got up for a bathroom break, he's all prepared to pray, don't you? I like it, so let's do it. I like to spread the love around. Go ahead there, bro. Come on up and do it.
Father God, I can't tell you how much this church and you have done for my family. Like Casey said yesterday, coming here, I can't tell you how many times I just stopped for a second, closed my eyes, and just thank you for the blessings that you've put in my life and the people I see around me here. And I know we all go through things, but I'm glad where we know where to turn, because the rest of the world right now is just on fire. They don't know where to go. So we're going to sit. We're going to listen. We're going to let KC hopefully speak your words, Lord. And we're going to listen. We're going to go out there and we're going to put them to work. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. I need two guys for the offering. Oh, this is the last Sunday too, isn't it? I need four guys. You want to grab those plates there? The first one is going to be for the church, and the second one is going to be for the mission offering, okay? First one is church. As soon as Gwenny gets here. No, these are... Seek and you shall find. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Dear Lord, we'd just like to thank you for giving blessings for us to earn money to give back to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good job. All right, we've got... another song for you. You guys remember this? Come on, stand up. Do you see him everywhere?
I'm captivated, I'm saying I'm on a whole new intrigue. I'm facing dated, upgraded, I hear you talking to me. I'm in the boom of the thunder, it's in the cool of the rain. And I say... I don't ever want to get away. Tonight is beautiful. It's got my mind on you. And everywhere I turn is a reminder. I see you in everything, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing, all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me. Everything, you're all up in everything. My soul's awakened, I'm taken by all the beauty you bring. My guts are blaring, staring, love watching you do your thing. There's no mistaking your style, no mistaking your touch. See your tension, see your subtle love, your love.
I see you in everything, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me. Finding me in everything all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me.
Get to the sashay a little bit. Come on, Gemma. Tonight is beautiful. It's got my mind on you. And everywhere I turn is your reminder. Sparkle in her eyes, the starlit open skies. You bring my heart to life, fill me with wonder.
I see you in everything, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing, all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me. I see you in everything, you're all up in. Everything, I see you in everything, you're all up in everything. One can see your love and love in everything, and that's why you'll always be my everything. Oh, I can see your love in everything, and that's why you'll always be my everything.
Bill and Donna are singing hip-hop. What? Have a seat. Praise the Lord. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? Do you see him in everything? That's the part that amazes me so much about the people who are in the world who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You look out and you look in the wonder of creation and he's everywhere. And they say, I don't believe in God. I mean, just pick anything. Doesn't matter. From just your ear and all the process it takes to hear, and your eye to see, and a blade of grass. Everything.
God is there screaming out. And the best thing we can do is recognize Him, because we have nothing to offer Him. There is nothing inherently good about you that adds to His economy. Nothing. It's not like when you came to Jesus that you all of a sudden, He went, yes, we finally got Him. We are going to win the war now. You are nothing. And I will never, as long as I live on this planet, I will never understand why He loves me. That's the greatest honor you can give Him, to just receive and thank Him for the benefit of what He has given to me. He's created me. He's given me life. He's given me opportunity. And it was my own choice of sin, my own failure, my own fault, that I have fallen far short of where I could be if I would just have Him as my guide and stay and leader. Yesterday, we had a kind of an interesting time here, because I had a tough time with this. I mean, as always, and I said this to Frankie, as always, I don't want to be in charge of things like that. When I stand up here and I'm teaching you, when I'm speaking on Wednesday night from the Bible, that's God through me. And you can question all you want. I love it. You can do that. We're allowed to do that. That's why in this church, a congregational church, you say, I don't agree with that. Let's talk about it. And we use the Bible as the way that we can define what it is as truth. But when we're talking about planning a picnic or a party or a get-together or something, I'm not good at that stuff. I never was. And so by virtue of me being the paid guy, you know, I get questions like, where do you want the tables? Where should I put the chairs? How many chairs should I take? What do you think about this? And the funny part was, is that yesterday, we said, well, we need to have a few more chairs over there. And we had chairs in a circle here. And I said, well, I left them in the circle from Flap. Figured if people want to come over here and pray, they can come and do that. Somebody went ahead and they took them all down and they moved them in a different arrangement. And somebody ratted you out. They came to me and said, you're not going to believe it. They changed the way it is, as if it mattered to me. So the interesting thing is that the things that are important for me in my job, I do, and I think I kind of do it okay. But, you know, other stuff is up for you guys. I know nothing about smoking pork. I know nothing about making that. And so turn it over to people who do know. I'm not good at pumps and that kind of thing. I mean, I may be able to make it work given 3 days, but, you know, we have people who are excellent at what they do, and God uses them. So as it was yesterday, we had telecast at 12 o'clock from Washington, D.C. Over 50,000 people assembled for the request of Franklin Graham for the National Day of Repentance. This has been in the making for quite some time. There were a lot more people than 50,000.
There should have been a lot.
Yeah, I think so. If we have 361 million people in this country, 50,000. Although, I was chided by another believer for not going. And I said, look, I don't need to go. They had another one of these things here in town. We didn't go to that either. I really believe that the strength is as Christians across the country, individually where you are, to pray. And we're going to do that. But the interesting thing here is that I came in and there were people coming and going, and Mike sat back there the entire time. And as it got a little bit later, I said, hey, Mike, I don't really know what songs I want to do tomorrow, and I really don't know that I want to pick them. Would you like to pick them? And he just said this. See, I love Mike. He sharpens me. I'm watching this. Okay. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I wish more people would be over here instead of over there, because this is such a blessing to me. And I got it. Because, you know, the thing that bothered me is that since I'm supposed to be the guy that people look to and say, hey, what about? I turn to the only other place I can turn to for opinion and what do you think, to my wife. So I turn to my wife and I said, we got that over there and it combines with this over here, and should I just shut everything down over there and bring everybody over here? And she said, why don't you just let everybody do what they feel they want to do and let the Spirit lead? And I thought that was pretty good advice. I married a sharp woman. So with that in mind, people came, they went. Mike went home, and he was so blessed by the first time he saw it sitting there that he pulled it up and watched it a second time. Mike promises that he's going to send us the link, and it will be in the words of the day tomorrow so that you who missed it can go back and look at it and listen to it again. He said it was completely inspiring as leaders in the Christian world called together to pray for our country, because what they did is they walked from site to site around that rotunda in Washington, D.C., in the Washington Monument. And in one place, they would pray for our armed forces and our law enforcement and first responders. Then they would go and they would pray for our government and judicial system. So all of that's essential and it's important. We didn't do that yesterday. We didn't sit here and pray specifically for all of those things. Did we miss something? I think we missed a chance at something. But I don't believe we missed it. Yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, celebration for the week of a Happy New Year. It's a time you party, you come together, you have fun, you eat, we play games, and it was such a joy, and we had a great time. The cakewalk for the women was really entertaining. Don't mess with Cindy back there. She will. But today is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And it's big. Most holy day of the year, because you see, sin separates us from God. And God knows not sin. He knows nothing about sin. He doesn't develop it. He doesn't create it. He didn't invent it. And you want to get into a bad argument with me? Come on, bring it on. Talk to me about how God invented evil since he put the tree in the garden. He had to give us free choice to either love him perfectly or not. We chose to fail. Satan had done it first on his own. Completely in and of himself, he decided that he was going to rebel and take over heaven. Because of our sin, you know that we are separated from God. You know that we cannot come to him. We cannot approach him because we are imperfect. And my father used to say, according to the laws of physics, and he wasn't even really that smart, but he said, you know what I believe? If you were to take God, who is perfect in every way, and based on the Holy Scriptures, if you were to take me, who is imperfect and sinful, and put us in the same room at the exact same time, you know what would happen? It would destroy everything. An explosion that would just destroy the entire universe. Because worse than a nuclear disaster, God cannot come in contact with evil. That's why he's surrounded with the holy, to protect him from that. Nothing gets into him until he decided that he was going to get into it, into us. Isn't that a good story? Mike also said, as we are watching this toward the end, Ann Graham Lotz came up. Now, that's Billy Graham's daughter. And Franklin Graham, her brother, Billy's son, had asked her to pray. And so she started. She held her hand in the air because she's a little more charismatic than others. And she started to pray. And as she's praying, she's saying, Lord, we are in need of your forgiveness. We are filthy, evil sinners in desperate need of forgiveness. You said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we are sinners and we are begging for your forgiveness. And I listened to that. And I turned to Mike and I said, that's not even biblical. And he said, I disagree. I love Mike. I love those things. And that's why you'll get barbs from me. You'll get little quick quips, little things that I throw at you. Sometimes you don't like. Sometimes they stick you in the back like a knife and you go, I didn't like that. Please take that from God. Unless I'm insulting you on what you're drinking, or, you know, Diet Coke versus Pepsi. You know, just take it like it's direct from God. Because I got home and I started thinking about what Mike said. Look, I could be upset at Mike and I could say, you know, who's he think he is? But no, God, I've learned a long, long time ago that iron sharpens iron. And so if something is in there in my craw, it's because God wants it there. And I got to admit to you, I feel like garbage. Do you know that feeling? Do you know what it's like to feel like garbage because you have let God down? Some of the things that you know He would have you think, you're not thinking. Some of the things that He would like you to do, you're not doing. I fail. I fall. I make mistakes. And there's times that I overwhelm myself with horrific guilt. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, it is true. Please understand me. I'll tell you at the outset, Mike is right, and yet so am I. Because I had to learn this a long time ago, that grace is not something to mess with. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. And so once I started remembering the Word and studying that part of God's grace toward me, when He looks at me, He sees me as perfect. Always. But I don't always feel perfect. That's what I'm going to talk about right now. I enjoy my time on Tuesday mornings with my very good friend Dan. Dan is a trainer and teaches people how to shoot well. And I didn't ask to learn how to shoot better. He said, I want you to meet me here Tuesday morning. And I was like, yes, sir. And so for several months, I have been getting together with him on Tuesdays. And he's gone through this regimen of teaching me how to not just shoot, but how to do well when you shoot. And it's an art. It's like golf, you know. It's like some people like golf, some people like bowling. And so the process has been one of, if I'm going to do this, I need to be a student, not the teacher. Now, the advantage of being a teacher is that you understand what a bad student is like. Get it? You know, I used to be a horrible student until I became a teacher, and then I realized, quit being such a jerk and listen to what they tell you. And so for quite some time, we have been getting together, and we've had some wonderful times. And the nice thing I like about Dan is that you can almost do no wrong with him. And he's tough, but he's always, whenever I feel bad about myself, when I'm saying, oh, man, this is terrible. I'm a terrible day. He goes, no. Look at this, you know. And he's always pointing out the positive side, which is really cool. But sometimes I have to say, no, I stink, man. Come on. Let's just call it like it is. I don't feel like I've hit the mark. Well, I can tell you this, that on the 2nd of this month, I shot a perfect score. According to the competitive thing. What's that? Oh, it varies. It goes 3, 5, 7, 10, 15. Yeah. There's 50 shots, and they all hit that little hole right there with a pistol. Yeah, up to 15 yards on this one. This was the Glock one. That's awesome. I mean, I'm not saying like, you know, I'm better than you. I'm just saying I happen to hit a perfect score. But I have shot many, 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 many times. And I got a perfect score once. The other day, because I had a mistake, I had a little brain mess up. I missed Tuesday. I thought it was Wednesday, and so we made it up on Friday. And I showed up, and I showed up like this because one of my weaknesses is that I'm afraid of I fear failure. I hate failure. I don't like it. And so I always want to do better. And if I don't feel like I'm going to do well, humor is my getaway. I joke about myself. I laugh. I tell stories. Well, you don't do that with Dan. He showed up the other day, and I'm like, hey, did you hear? Everybody goes, forget that, man. You're here now. Pay attention to what you're doing. And then I made a couple of jokes, and he goes, will you get with the program? And sure enough, as I'm shooting, I knew that I wasn't deep inside. I knew I wasn't going to do well. I don't know why. And I didn't. But with his coaching, toward the end, I got better. I didn't shoot perfect. But he says, look, even though you had a bad day, I want to give this to you. And he handed this to me. Now, I'm not going to wear this. I mean, I don't know where I'd wear it. It's kind of weird. But this is sort of like an expert marksman. Since I got a perfect shot, I shot perfect. This is like a marksman badge. This is like, you're an expert. You're a marksman. I'm like, well, thanks, man. And as I'm laying there yesterday, this is not to brag. This is not to tell you about me. This is what I'm saying about repentance and atonement with God. I came to Christ and he forgave me all of my sins. Do I do that every day? Am I perfect in my actions every day? No. At one point in my life, I came to Jesus Christ and he's called me perfect. But not every day do I do this. In God's eyes, though, I wear this. Because according to him, I am perfect. Do you get that? But even though I'm not perfect, and God sees me perfect, every day my job is to try to do this. You got that? So do you understand what I'm saying when I say I feel like garbage? Because there are times when God says, Casey, this is you. Why aren't you doing this? And I think that's legitimate. I think I'm maturing in that area because I like to just proclaim this without working a whole lot on this. God doesn't want that. God expects me to wake up in the morning and be his representative and to serve and to love and to be Jesus in my world. And so often it's easy to say, well, I'm glad you forgave those things because, man, I sure wouldn't be a good representative today. And then just pass it off. God says, why not? Why don't you just let me live through you? It's hard because it's one of those things that goes back and forth, back and forth. Our country's in trouble. There are people out there, lots of them, by the way, who would like to prefer to continue to do things that they want to do without consequence. You get that, don't you? We want to be able to do this and not have a penalty. There's nowhere in the Bible where God says that that's okay. Nowhere. There's always a penalty for sin. You are either innocent 100% or you are guilty 100%. We like to slide that little no contest thing in there where there's a little bit of fluffing off and it's like, well, we'll talk and we'll make a deal and that kind of thing. But God says you are either completely innocent or you're completely guilty. And so it is today with us that we have to come to Christ and we say to him, Lord, I recognize that I have failed you. I have fallen short. I need your help to do better. And I'm going to confess to you, not for forgiveness, because I've already been forgiven, but I want to confess to you that I want my actions to match my mouth. I think there's legitimacy in that. So in these coming days up until the election, as we're kind of going through and we're seeing what's going on with the Supreme Court and all the stuff that's happening, we're going to pray. We're going to pray like we need to pray. Because right now, God's looking down on the world and he's saying, hey, What are you doing down there? If you think this is okay, it's not. He's looking to us. Are we going to step up? Day of the Atonement just basically says, hey, it's time for us to take seriously the penalty of our sin and to do something about it. And the only thing we can do is throw it on Christ and on His cross. I'm going to ask a couple of guys to come up here and let's do this communion thing.
Oh, yeah.
Two guys. Who do you want? You don't want to volunteer. You just want to. You want me to pick you?
I got it.
Yes, please.
That's true. You want to do that?
I'll let you guys take the juice. Don't spill on your clean shirt. This is really something that does not make sense to the world. Jesus offended those people who came to him, were the teachers of the law, the Jews. And he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. No part. It was offensive. It was difficult for them to understand. But you either have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and count on His crucifixion on the death of the cross for your sins, or you're on your own, man. He died for you. He gave His life for you. And that's what this represents. It's not meant to taste good. It's not meant to fill you up. It's meant to remind you that this is what it took to make you 100. Perfect. Eat it and remember the cost. I'm sure the disciples, when they were there that night around Passover, they were used to the rituals. They've been going to the temple all their life. They knew what it meant. And everything was okay, hunky-dory, fine, until Jesus reached for the wine and called it His blood. That was a whole different change. That was a whole different thing. That was just... It takes a spectacular view from God's point. It takes the Holy Spirit inside of you to recognize what it cost God to set you free from the penalty of sin and death. That can't come through human reason. That comes by a touch of God. Life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And it can't be the blood from an animal, a bull or a goat. It can't be a covering like swept under the rug. It must be precious, perfect blood. And the only one who has that is Jesus Christ. The kids back there need something. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, but only when we apply it. If we do not apply it to our lives individually, what's the point? And so Jesus said, "This is my blood given on your behalf. Take, drink, and remember the cost so that you too can be made perfect." As I like to do, since we got these fancy plastic cups that we can throw away, I ask you to take them home. Set them on a mantle or set them on your TV or set them somewhere where you can look and you can see that. This is a covenant you made. You made a promise to God. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ and your description of me, of my perfection because of Him, not me. And look at it and shoot for 100. Shoot for the perfect score. Because He expects you to be that 100. Because you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And those people out there are looking for somebody to show them God. That's you. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We don't like feeling like garbage. We go agathocacological from good to evil. Lord, help us to see us as we are. Completely free and forgiven and have no reason to go backwards into that life of garbage. We've been given a banquet. We are going to be the bride of Christ eating while the whole tribulation period goes on. We're going to have a 7-year period of time. It's going to be a wedding celebration. Why are we dumpster diving? Help us to see that, Father God. Help us to shoot straight. To be the perfect 100 because your Son enables us to be just that. We pray for our country. We pray for our church. We pray for our school district. We pray for the governments in and around this county and across the state and are in the United States and even around the world. We want you, Holy Father, we want you to be the source and the reason of righteousness, not our own thoughts. Thank you for the ability that you give us to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I picked a song yesterday, just kind of threw it at Charles, and I said, hey, throw this one in there. Sometimes picking a song is like the last thing I want to do. And sometimes I feel like, I don't know if that's going to be the right song. Well, it's interesting because Mike stepped up again. And there was a song that they played several times yesterday during the National Day of Repentance. And he said, I think we ought to put this in here today because the world's in trouble. When was the last time the whole world suffered under this kind of a universal symptom using COVID as the kind of a thing? You know, it's all around the world. But that's just a symptom. It's not even that serious, that COVID thing, as serious as sin. We're in a world in rebellion. And we need to reach out to God and ask for Him to come into our world and change it. Okay? So Mike, he said, I'm going to switch that song. I said, okay, have at it. So let's stand and do this. Even if you only listen to it.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are. We need you now. To send your love down. Take away the pain in your holy name. We ask this now. We need your light. We need your love. To heal the world you made. And save us now. In our darkest hour. With your amazing grace. Earth to God. We're holding on, but not for long. Can you pull us all close to the Holy Ghost and keep us strong?
The weight of the world is on your shoulders. Because if you don't pray, God will not go where He's not asked. Ask. I'm so proud of you guys here in this church. The number one mission people that we support from this church is Samaritan's Purse. So thank you for your giving. And being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, because that's what we are. Go B100s. Vic, show us, will you?
Father God, there is no one righteous, not even one. We have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. And we know through the law how truly sinful we really are. But on this day of atonement, we give thanks to your Son and the shedding of his blood, which frees us from sin, frees us from sorrow, and frees us from shame. And when it appears that the whole world is sinking beneath our feet, we will run to the rock, and we will stand on the solid rock of our salvation, absolutely perfect in your sight through the saving sacrifice of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Go be light.
You were supposed to pray me out of here.
Oh! Hold on, everybody. We are going to be losing this night, lady.
Hey.
Carla Stevens, she's going to Arizona. So grab a hold of her, grab a hold of her, just reach grab a hold of her, grab a hold of her.
Father God, as we are watching, as Carla has been here and she's come, and we just know that she trusts in you, something that she hasn't always. But as she goes to Arizona, she made a statement, well, I don't know if I'm going to find a church like this one. Lord, I want you to help her find one. Give her the desire to find one. She needs to be part of a crew. Give her safety. Give her comfort. Keep her in your care and help her to be light wherever she goes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Lunch if you'd like some barbecue.
You stay for barbecue?
We have so much.
I'm
going to
get something.
That's good. I'm going to
take something. Okay.
Don't forget barbecue. You don't have to eat it here. You can just take it home with you.
I love you, lady.
I love you. I'm going to grab some barbecue with you so you can go. All right.
No.
Bye.
Look, look. Case. Case. Chew. Don't swallow. Chew. Just chew. Just chew. Don't swallow. It's gum. Chew.
Buddy, I like that crowd.
All right. How we got this going? Oh, I don't know whose that is. It's in the oven, right? I think this is, there's coleslaw in here.
First thing the kids grab.
I know. I said, hey, you're going to get all drunk. I said, you know.
Yeah, grab that.
I know. I wanted to see if it's a military one or if it's, I don't know what it is.
There you go. I don't know. I know you don't like this stuff. I'm so sorry.
I'm so glad the cornbread. I love the cornbread.
Take a whole bunch of it.
I'm gonna take
a whole bunch.
I like that. Yeah. I never care about the food thing.
No, I know. I know.
180.
Huh?
My grandson Jacob went to 180.